Hey, some of you are on Facebook and connected on online and that kind of stuff. I know Facebook's for old people like me now, but some of you are connected online other ways. And there was a cool clip that I saw, a video clip over the Christmas season, and I wanted to play it for you today. Now, what you have to do, you're going to say, how do you get stuff up on the screen? You bring your own laptop. You slip a 20 to the guy who does all the, I haven't given it to him yet, but you know, and he makes it happen. So check this clip out if it works. And hopefully we get some sound with that. I might have the mute button on the laptop. Check that. And when we get sound, we'll play it again. Are we able to have sound on it or no? Check on the laptop. I'm just going to wander back.
Buddy, the power works.
All right. Start it over then for me. Thanks.
I'm alive.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Christine. You're here too. Mm. I love you.
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works. It's coming. It goes on and off. Whatever we want. We've got clean water.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food.
What? Is this a baseball? Do you have what?
What is this?
Look, listen here.
Hey, the what?
Dad, be careful.
I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
All right, thanks for making that happen. I know the Christmas season is, slipping past us. Actually, I know some people here this morning, they're having Christmas gathering this afternoon with their family. And some of us are still wearing our Christmas presents. I talked to some this morning who were, myself included. Some of you are still redeeming for your Christmas presents. Some of you are taking back the stuff you got and getting new gifts. And that's awesome too. But, I think that I'd like to be more like that this year. Now, let me just qualify that. Not that goofy, but in the sense of being that grateful. I would like to be like that this year. I would like to be, in 2018, that grateful, that appreciative. I think that'd be great. You know, every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. I know that's goofy, but, you know, every day is a gift. What does it say? That's why it's called the present. I hope you get that. Every day is a gift. So let me encourage you this morning. Just let me encourage you. Let's be thankful to God for each day. Let's be thankful to God for each day, because the truth is, we never know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We never know what may come. In fact, there's a story in the New Testament, a part of the Bible, that talks about a guy who forgot that every day is a gift and not a guarantee. He forgot that every day is a gift and not a guarantee, and he just lived for himself. It's found in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 to 21. Jesus is talking, and he says this. He says, beware. He says, guard against every kind of greed. Life isn't measured by how much you own. And then he told them a story. He said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll have room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you'll die this very night. It wasn't that God was going to kill him. It was that he was going to die that night. And then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. If tomorrow was our last day, if you knew that, if tomorrow was our last day, how would our prayers change? If tomorrow was your last day, how would your prayers change? How grateful would we be for our lives? What would be on a list of the good things a spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend did for us? What good things did our parents do? What things are we thankful for in our children? You see, as we pass through this life, as we journey through this life, we meet many people. Oh, you know that. Some relationships are just a moment or temporary. Others are lifelong. Are we thankful for the benefits that each relationship brings to us? Material things aren't forever. A house, car, land, vacation property, and other things are only temporary possessions. Are we thankful? Are we grateful for God allowing us temporary use of these things of His? Ah, human government. Human government has done a lot of good things for each one of us. Are we thankful for the good things that our government does? I mean, there are things like roads and schools and sporting facilities and defense organizations, retirement provisions and water treatment and sewage systems. I'm glad for those. Garbage disposal, I'm glad for that too. Research, communications, postal services, energy, disease control, health guidelines, consumer protection, clean air and water, water safety or work safety standards and requirements. There's weather services, unemployment assistance, aid for the poor and the sick and the elderly, police services, financial grants, conservation authorities and resources, libraries, building codes. You know, that's a lot of good stuff. And the list goes on. Your tax dollars at work, but someone has to do the work. Perfect human government is impossible, but God supports good governments, and so should we. 1 Timothy 2, 1-2 says, and this is in regard to a life of worship, he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks. In other words, be grateful for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Good stuff. Are we grateful that God is, I am, are we grateful for, that God is gentle and loving and kind and compassionate and faithful and forgiving and good and just? That He is life itself, that He inhabits eternity, is unchanging, holy, righteous, truthful, transcendent. The great three in one, you know, the Trinity that we talk about. Are we grateful that Jesus is Lord? Emmanuel, God with us, both human and divine, born of a virgin and died for our sins, stuff we just talked about and celebrated through this season. Are we grateful that the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us into truth and reveals Jesus and convicts of sin and affirms believers and prompts us and nudges our spirits that He is God, that He is our comforter? Are we grateful that the angels are God's servants, ministering spirits to those who belong to God, that they celebrate the salvation of believers, that they serve and protect? Sounds a little bit like our police departments. Are we grateful that as people we've been created in the likeness of God with a similar but limited ability to reason or to rule over the earth, as the Bible talks about, created to have a relationship with God? Are we grateful that sins, if we can say this, ranging simply from missing the mark to absolute moral evil, can truly be forgiven in Jesus? Are we grateful that God is revealed in the Bible, in creation, in Jesus, and other special ways? Are we grateful that salvation from God is open to people of all the world? Are we grateful that Jesus established His church as a gathering of Christ followers, as the body of Christ, a family, vine and branches, a living temple that grows, a holy nation, a royal priesthood? Living stones around Jesus, the cornerstone, being salt and light in our words and actions for the world around us. Are we grateful that as we gather at church, that it can be a place to be strengthened in faith, to be spiritually fed, to be cheerful givers, to be challenged and to be in a right relationship with God, to learn and to be reminded of God's wisdom, and that it can be a place to be prayed for and loved? Are we grateful that at the end of all things, Jesus will come again and there will be a resurrection, a gathering of believers, and a judgment where all things will be put right? Are we grateful for the message of Jesus' love and salvation and believe that the world needs it? The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, after preaching in several places, he ended up in a place called Corinth. Don't know if you've heard of it. Maybe you've even been there. But he ended up in a place called Corinth. And there were people from all over the world living in Corinth. And Paul shared with them the message of God's love and salvation through Jesus. And Paul ended up staying there for 18 months. And Corinth was his base of operations for the Greek cities in that region. And while at Corinth, he saw wealth and opulence. He saw the marble temples with their columns of gold and silver and bronze. He saw the commercial and trading centers where business people came to engage in the high-stakes gambling and risk-taking that promised the gift of profit-making. He saw the great stadiums where athletes demonstrated their gifts and abilities. He saw the massive amphitheaters where gladiator skills were taught and learned by courageous combatants. He saw the world-famous schools where the gifted young people were being educated to become world-class intellectuals. He visited the marketplaces where people shopped and purchased gifts from a wide range of products that flowed in and out of Corinth every day. And these gifts would end up in the homes of the rich and in the cottages of the poor. Not only were there material gifts in abundance in Corinth, but the gift of political liberty existed there as well. While other cities lived under the iron fist of the aristocracy, the Corinthians exercised the gift of democracy. And the gift of religious freedom was enjoyed by the Corinthians so that a Jewish synagogue and a Greek temple could stand close to each other. And so when Paul established the church at Corinth, the Christian church, they enjoyed the freedom of worship. In fact, as far as gifts were concerned, the Corinthian church is known as the most gifted church mentioned in Paul's writings in the New Testament. And as Paul has been writing about joy and reconciliation and God's deliverance, both physical and spiritual, and he's been writing about the church's repentance and generosity and willingness to give and to serve, his natural expression we find in 2 Corinthians 9:15, he adds, "And thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." All these things. And Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." That gift being Jesus, through whom all these other things were possible. The word gift in the New Living Translation of the Bible, we find it used about 299 times. In versions different in how they use words. In the NIV, it's about 160 times. And the word for gift used in the Bible is used in different contexts to mean a present or a gratuity. It's a reward, an offering, a sacrifice, a bestowal, a donation. It's an addition, an application, an appointment, an inscription, or an assignment. It's a commitment, a consideration, deliverance, a direction, a distribution, an endowment, a grant, a healing, an inheritance. It's an offer, an ordination, a payment, a performance, it's recompense, a rendering, a restoration, and a yielding, just to mention a few things. You see, what Paul was trying to say, and what he's saying, is I have seen gifts of all kinds, but I say to you that there is one that surpasses and overshadows and overwhelms and exceeds and eclipses them all. One that outdoes and outshines. One that is like no other quality and character. Nature and uniqueness, beauty and splendor, and that is God's indescribable gift of his Son, Jesus. Which is what we just celebrated in this Christmas season. You see, lying in that manger in a humble stable in that tiny town of Bethlehem, in the little country of Judah on that first Christmas night, was God's indescribable gift. Words cannot adequately describe him. You know, you say he's good, but he's better than good. And you say he's better, but he's better than better. And you say he's best, but he's better than best. Earthly treasures don't define him. He's more precious than silver, we read. He's more costly than gold, more dazzling than diamonds, more stunning than rubies, more beautiful than pearls. Earthly assessments cannot value him. He's worth more than hundreds, greater than thousands, exceeds millions, beyond billions, and surpasses trillions. Human wisdom doesn't explain him. Human philosophy can't decipher him. To him, Socrates and Aristotle and Plato and Confucius and Descartes and Hegel must bow. The greatest of musicians must bow to him. Celebrities must bow to him. We read in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in every tongue, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Human religions don't truly reveal him. Human thought cannot conceive him. Human psychology cannot analyze him. Mathematicians can't calculate him. Modern technology can't compute him. Explorers can't discover him. He is the ultimate adventure, the supreme thriller, the most exciting, amazing, astounding, astonishing, startling, remarkable, wonderful, incredible, awesome gift. You see, he is the gift that keeps on giving. He gives help to the helpless. He gives hope to the hopeless. He gives health to the sick. He gives peace to the troubled. He gives strength to the weak. He gives blessing to the meek, the Bible says. He gives joy to the sorrowful. He is food for the hungry. He is water for the thirsty. He is rest for the weary. And he loves the unlovely. He encourages the discouraged. He lifts up the fallen. He delivers the oppressed. And he comforts the grieving. Are we grateful for God's indescribable gift? Last week, Steve challenged us to practice the discipline of remembering God's greatness, his goodness to us. And Steve, I wrote it down. I think you said, you talked about journaling. Penzu. Okay, I can't read my own writing. So he had talked to us, challenged us in the discipline of remembering and suggested some different things. One of the things he said to us to take a minute, that someone had taken a minute at 3 o'clock in the day and whatever was going on, just thank God and just took a moment to remember. Let me this week challenge you in addition to that to practice the discipline of gratitude. The discipline of gratitude. You see, I think they go hand in hand. Remembering and being grateful. And we talked about remembering on the last Sunday of the year, last Sunday, and we're talking about being grateful in the first year of this Sunday, and I think they go hand in hand. I really want to be grateful this year. I try to be grateful. I take a lot of things for granted, but I want to be really grateful this year, grateful for everything. I'm grateful for you. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but I appreciate you so much. You are awesome. And you know what? If you're visiting with us today and this is the first time we met, I'm grateful for you too. I'm grateful for you. And maybe this year we could be grateful together. Maybe we could be grateful together. I'm not saying that you're not or you haven't been, but maybe that's something we could focus on this year together. Maybe we could be grateful and make sure that we put God first in our plans. Because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. My wife, Patty, pointed out a quote to me yesterday that said this. It was in a couple different forms, but basically this. What if you woke up tomorrow with only what you were grateful for today? What if you woke up tomorrow with only what you were grateful for today? That makes me wonder what my tomorrow would look like. What would tomorrow be like? Well, God's not only given us an indescribable gift in Jesus, but he's also given special gifts to each of us who follow him. And he wants us to use them. He wants us to use them to help grow his kingdom and to serve each other, the Bible says. And so I'd like to leave you with a verse to put in your hearts and minds this week as we look to serve him and each other with gratitude. It's in 1 Peter 4:10, and it says this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10. Maybe next week we'll remind ourselves of that, and maybe in the weeks ahead we'll continue to remind ourselves of that. And in all of that, and over all of that, let's not only practice the discipline of remembering, but also the discipline of gratitude. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. And thank you so much. I pray you'd cause in us to well up constantly and regularly an attitude of gratitude. And Father, that would be the way we live our lives. The people would say, I don't know a lot about that person, but man, I know they're grateful. I know they're grateful. I know they're thankful. I know they're appreciative. And Father, may we also remember that every day is a gift, not a guarantee. And Father, may we live out our days as though they were gifts from you, that we would honor you, that we would bless each other. In Jesus' name, amen.